As you get older, you kind of appreciate the grind a lot more.
Back to Falcons Training Camp
with Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
Exclusive training camp coverage is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time, Atlanta. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. It's hour brought to you by Zero Res Smart, Lasting Clean. Mike, Bo, and Allison from WSB live here in Flowery Branch. Look, man, we got to get to all this Falcon stuff going on. Allison's showing the Barbie videos and the doll videos. Just electric stuff. Just absolutely electric.
I watched it.
I watched it. It was electric. Trust me.
The detail.
It was electric stuff.
I really enjoyed the beach volleyball breakdown in reenactment with the Barbies where a spike. One of the girl Barbies spiked, and then she face planted.
He watched it. What was your favorite one?
Beach volleyball.
Yeah, that's it.
It was the swimming and diving
portion. The track and field where they were warming up on rocks, but they found sand to do the long jump in, I should say. So
no, man, we're gonna get to the Atlanta Falcons stuff, and here's the question I have, guys, about the Atlanta Falcons Friday night. And I got some good, bad, and the ugly that I want to run by y'all. But the Atlanta Falcons Friday night, obviously this preseason game, the final score does not matter. I mean, we saw the Falcons keep Miami out of the end zone completely last year in this exact same game. Miami goes on to be one of the most prolific offenses in the NFL. Tua leads the NFL in passing. It's not really indicative of what you're getting. But here's the question I have off the top for everybody listening. Do you feel better or worse about this season after Friday night? Do you feel anything about the 2024 football season based off of what you saw Friday night?
I'm a little worried to lose DeMarco Helms and Braylon Trice. I thought those guys were going to be guys that contributed. I really was excited for both of those players. So not having them, one of them for the entire year, and maybe the other, we just don't know yet, that makes me feel like maybe we took a hit in depth a little bit. So that bothers me. I don't know how to say this without alarming people because I'm not alarmed by this, but I thought we would have ran the ball better, even though it was our second and third string lines. That bothered me a little bit, but really, if I had to hammer one thing, it would be I'm worried now about depth in the secondary and that. Now, if Kevin King doesn't play so well and Antonio Hamilton doesn't play so well, I might feel a little bit worse about it. But two guys I expected to contribute this year are not there now.
Yeah, I agree with you on the depth. I mean, I think that's always a concern. You want that, especially you don't want to lose that at this point in the season because you're going to need it later on. To me, it just kind of confirmed, like, okay, this is why you drafted Penix. You know what I mean? Like, you saw it. I'm indifferent. Like, it wasn't like I walked away like, oh, my God. I'm just like, oh, yeah, I kind of expected that.
Well,
second and third string guys, like.
Yeah, and I'm glad you put it that way because that's why I wanted to specify the 2024 season because I think I felt a lot better about the future of the franchise after seeing Michael Penix, but I don't know that really translates to what we'll see this year. Hopefully not, anyways.
Right, so, if you see him, then something happened.
Right, then something went wrong.
I was pleasantly surprised by a couple of guys that played defense. Now, D'Angelo Malone did not necessarily stand out as much on the defensive side, but on the special team side,
he was dominant.
We didn't know where he was playing it. We were like, we need to find out where Malone's playing because he was so far down the field so quickly for a guy playing at the line on punts, right? And then the one time that he wasn't down there immediately, what just happened to be the one where I just watched him the entire play because I spot, so I'm what for Wes, so I'm watching a game. I somewhat follow the ball or the line of scrimmage, depending on the play. And I saw Malone get turned around and almost dragged down. He was held so bad. Of course, the referees didn't know how to throw a flag on a Friday night, apparently, but that he was very impactful in special teams. And the reason I'm bringing that up is he's just been non-existent at all the last couple of years, and you just wondered what he would be. But Dane Cruikshank, as well, out of the secondary, he might be a guy with the Helms injury that might be able to step up because I thought he played really well, and, boy, he laid some licks on some people.
Yeah, he absolutely did. We mentioned Michael Penix, and look, he said after the game that it really wasn't as fast as practice was.
I always say the game is easier than practice. Game's always easier than practice. I don't know why. I think it's because our defense see our look so many times. You know, it's harder to get completions against them. But in the game, I feel like the routes be wide open, and you know, it'd be slower. It's slower than practice. So, nah, I was good.
I got to be honest with y'all. So I said I'd give a good, bad, and the ugly. The good is obviously Michael Penix. I think everybody walked away from that going, okay. You saw him not only put the ball in precise places, but also reading the defense. It seemed like he did pretty well. The bad for me, the run game ingenuity. We didn't see much at all. Zero variety in the run game. And I don't expect there to be much variety in the first preseason game. But after watching practice for the last couple of weeks and being so excited for a new offensive coordinator not going to come in and run wide zone 30 times in a game, we got pretty much two plays. We got wide zone and we got duo.
Are you going to show all your cards in that first preseason game?
No, here's the thing. That's what I said. I don't know if you listen. It wasn't just the first preseason game.
Hold on. First off, our guest is just
She stepped to me, Bo. She stepped to me. Okay.
Well, was Bajon Robinson and Tyler Allgeier in that game?
I'm just saying.
Okay,
I
know
thought...
what? Now she's on her own.
Exactly.
Now she's on her own.
Yeah. I'm on my own island. Listen, I'm from Jersey, Philly. I can hold my own.
I thought we'd see a little bit more design out of the run game, and we didn't. So I think it's an interesting
thing
to keep track of.
That's okay. I mean, I'm not concerned. Like, you're not going to show, like we keep saying, second, third string guys, you're not going to show everything. It's the first preseason game with all new, like, everyone's new. So, like, yeah, you're going to kind of, like, ease into everything. You're not going to show all your cards. Like, I'd be concerned if we were like, oh, my gosh, we saw, like, all these major things. Like, no, nothing. Like, I'm not concerned.
I was concerned about the fact that we had some – I thought it was a big game for Jovan Gwynn. And, you know, to kind of say, hey, can you play? Can you? It felt like a moment for him Friday night where can you play? And what are you going to be? And I don't. The first one.
Define the role.
The first snap that was botched was, I feel like it was on him. I don't think the ball got off the ground. The second one honestly looked like it was on him. It looked like the quarterback had it right in his hands. I can't remember if it was Heinicke or Rourke at that point. But that one was right in his hands, and you got to get on that one. So there was some. The design of the run plays, but just to struggle to run the ball.
Right.
Was 2.7 yards a carry. That's not good for any offensive line. And look, you weren't going against Miami's first string either.
No,
it was pretty much mano a mano with backup on backup.
Yeah, and unfortunately, let me get to the ugly part because it kind of coincides with this. The ugly part was third down. Third down was abysmal. Third down was as bad as I think that I've seen. And as Falcons fans, we witnessed some bad third down play last year. But when I look at the fact that Michael Penix was so good and yet on third down it was so bad. Third downs, to me, so many throws towards the sideline, so many throws that did not go over the middle, and just a lack of what seemed like consistency and the ability to get the ball out and the receivers actually looking at the quarterback. Third down was absolutely awful on Friday night.
Something that Arch had said, he talked about lack of reps for some of the backup quarterbacks, and obviously Penix and Cousin have taken a lot of reps this training camp so far, and I thought you saw that from Heinicke, and obviously Rourke was a guy that just came in here. He is some of the transactions the team made based on what happened in that game with injuries. You got the fact that Nathan Rourke has been released, Braylon Trice and Harrison Hand were both put on the reserve injured list with knee injuries. And so John Paddock is back, and they signed wide receiver Hakeem Grant and then running back Spencer Brown. So I think they've made some moves, but I don't know what to make of the third and fourth string quarterbacks with Heinicke and Rourke. I don't think you're going to – you hope to never – you don't see either one of them at all this year, no matter what. Now, Rourke's gone, but with Heinicke – I'm not sure if you're going to keep him. I think you will because of the money you already have, and this is a league now. But through the new role, though, where you can have the third guy can be on the emergency, can be on the practice squad, Allison. Now, after that, I don't know what their plan is.
I mean, I feel like you should keep Heinicke because he does have that experience. I mean, heck, he was battling for the starting job just last season, which is wild when you think about it.
Oh, sorry, but, what, three games?
Yeah.
Oh,
man. 1-1, though, you know. So I think you do keep him because of the experience that he has. He can get you in a game. He can possibly help you win a game. Obviously, the backup is Penix, so it's not even a competition. I did think Heinicke was really, like, honest and real after that one practice at the high school. Like, we kind of asked him about, like, did he think he was going to be here? And he kind of, like, you know, writing's like, but he's like, but I've been here before. Like, you know, like I've been in this position where, like, you know, I might not be here or be here. And he's like, I'm just trying to help them learn. I thought it was cool. He's like, I'm going to help them learn the playbook. I'm going to do everything I can to help them. And I, you know, I like to be here, but obviously, you know, I know. So, you got to have that mindset. And, but like the fact that we're talking about the third and fourth string or whatever, you know what I mean? That's great, right?
Sure.
That's great. We're, you know, like that's, we're not worried about who the backup is. We know who that is. We're not worried about who the starter is. How many, I feel like we've been talking about who's going to be the starter for
Let me follow up with that. Does it concern you that starters might not play during the preseason, especially Kirk Cousins? Because that was a big topic of conversation last year with Desmond Ridder, and we kind of saw how that panned out. So okay. does that concern you at all?
No, because Desmond Ridder didn't have like 13 years of experience compared to, and he's also not coming off an Achilles. Like, I mean, yeah, the competitor in, you know, I'm sure Kirk and all them, they want to get out there, but like, we don't need to see it. I don't need to see him step on the field and like do anything to that Achilles. Like, you put him in a bubble until September, basically. And my the fact that he got
boy.
Hit, yeah, but the fact that he got hit in that one like practice, I was like, oh my gosh. Like, you know, so no, I'm not concerned about it at all. If it was like Michael Penix, if he was, you know, like if it's a rookie, yeah, I want to see him play. I want to see him if he's going to be the starting quarterback. But
yeah,
you got 13 years under your belt. I don't need to see him play.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. But and obviously with all the injuries going on that you did get Friday night, scares you to think that they could play at any point. All right, we got to go to break. We'll go in the huddle next too.
Yeah, we're going to hit in the huddle. And one rookie quarterback had quite the debut. We'll talk about it next on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 929 The Game and the Odyssey app.
On this level, you have to know everything. You have to learn it fast.
The Falcons are getting ready for the regular season, and we've got all the exclusive camp coverage here.
Exclusive training camp coverage is brought to you by Hooters. Ain't no party like a Hooters party. It's the Morning Shift, live at Flowery Branch on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Today, my new dad and I shot off a rocket in the park.
Today, my new son and I failed to shoot off a rocket.
He knew exactly what to do.
I had no clue what I was doing.
We set up the rocket. Hit ignition. And then?
And then nothing.
Like it's constant sort of action.
Yes, training camp.
92.9 The Game's live Falcons training camp coverage continues from Flowery Branch.
Exclusive training camp coverage is brought to you by Margaritaville.
It's the Morning Shift.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's time to huddle up.
Bring it in close.
The latest NFL news, rumors, reports, and happenings.
Within the huddle on the Morning Shift.
Back here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 929 The Game. I am Bo Morgan. He is the All-American National Champion Mike Johnson, and she is WSB's Allison Mastrangelo. Also the, what would I say, the South Jersey Shoe Queen. But Channel 2's Allison is with us, my favorite person over there. So, want to remind you real quick, this hour is brought to you by Zero Res Smart, lasting clean. What?
Look, I do have breaking news a little bit. Tiffany actually retweeted something we were saying on Twitter earlier, which is the first communication we've had from her in a couple weeks. She's been over in Paris. No, she's living the dream of a great time. Have you talked to her? Because I've checked some of her stories. She looks like she's having a great time.
Oh, my
time.
Gosh. She's living the dream. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like it's just been an incredible experience. I'm surprised if she ever comes back, actually.
Yeah. She. Now, what do you think about her pastry intake?
The U.S.
Yeah. What do you think about her pastry intake over there? You know, think it's been good?
I mean, I think it's been, as you would expect,
top
anyone
notch.
Going to Paris.
Okay. I'm just making sure. Because you
better
know, she's known on this show for her pastries. And
well, she's normally got a cohort with her in the pastry line.
She usually got a pastry man with her.
So I'm not sure
is
how.
Is that you?
No.
Oh.
No.
It's not.
The pastry man is somebody we do not. Somebody we don't know who he is, to be honest with you. So
he's a mystery man.
I just know with all the pastries pastries in Paris that she's probably having a good time.
I mean, you can't be like, I'm having no carbs in Paris. Like, you gotta go.
Gotta go down that road. So
there was a couple of good debuts this weekend for some rookie quarterbacks. We obviously Michael Penix. I thought Michael Penix looked good for the most part, but you had other guys, including former Auburn, former Oregon quarterback, and his grandmother is a friend of Tiffany's, by the way, Bo Nix. Bo Nix's grandmother is really good friends with Tiffany. They text back and forth. They've met.
Is this sarcasm?
No, it's true.
Nope.
It's true.
They flew next to each other on a flight and exchanged numbers, and now they hit it off.
I never sent anyone interesting on a flight. Yeah. Someone actually ate a raw egg. That's a story for a different day.
Yeah,
that's...
On a plane?
Yeah. Next to me. Mm. Yeah.
I sat next to a guy one time that caught
Rocky.
Raw meat, too, actually.
Were you sitting next to Rocky?
No. No, no. This is a human being.
I've told you a story before. I sat next to a guy on a flight that caught one of Nolan Ryan's no-hitters one time. Had a ring on his hand. I was like, dude. I mean, talked the whole time. That guy was probably like, please get away from me.
Were you sitting first class?
Yes.
I knew it. In economy, I don't sit next to anybody.
But I'm a big dude. Come on. I'm a big dude. I got
to
have those big
seats. I flew to Vegas one time, and this girl looked like she might have taken a Percocet or something because she kept falling asleep and drooling on me.
Ooh, I got one better. Girl coming back from Vegas threw up the entire flight next to me. God. They had to give her a trash bag.
Okay.
A trash bag.
Yes, because she
Oh, my. Well, we've gone completely off the rails here.
Pivot. Pivot.
So, Bo Nix looked good. 15 of 21, 125 yards and a touchdown in his debut. Now, honestly, Broncos quarterbacks all in all look good because Zach Wilson was 10 of 13 himself. And then Jarrett Stidham, who started the game, was 4 of 7. Looks like Jarrett Stidham might go into the season right now as it sets as the starter. But then J.J. McCarthy, he had a good game as well. He was 11 of 17 for 188 yards and two really good touchdown throws and a pick. This rookie class of quarterback, might be the one that we kind of restore some faith in rookie quarterbacks classes. Based on, remember that one in 21? That 21 class, been a little bit of a debacle in the NFL.
Yeah, you just mentioned one of their names, Zach Wilson. I'll say this. Somehow we got all the way through that without mentioning Caleb Williams. I thought he looked good. Footwork is good. Throwing balls off balance, off timing. He's kind of everything that we thought he'd be so far. If they can keep him clean, he's going to look nice as well. And you mentioned Bo Nix. Bo Nix made a throw to the flat on what I think was a hot read or just if you get a one-on-one on the outside, make a quick throw. It was pinpoint for a touchdown throw as well. So I'm with you, man. I thought a lot of these young guys, now, always bears mentioning, they are playing backups. Once they go against first-string secondaries, that will get a little bit more difficult. But I really loved what I saw in that first preseason game from a lot of those rookies for sure.
Yeah, it was really good. It's cool for me to see these guys, you know, step up and play well when there's so much scrutiny on these guys. They're so big of they're under the big eye here, and everyone's looking right at them. So it's good to see them.
Microscope.
Yeah, that's the word I want to use.
The big eye.
The big eye, like the Lord of the Rings, the big eye that just looks on everybody. Well, I was doing three things at once as well. Speaking of guys that don't speak well at times, Jerry Jones, he really stepped in it the other day when he talked about there's no urgency to sign CeeDee Lamb to the new contract. CeeDee Lamb literally quote retweets what he had, the quote out there and puts laugh out loud. Well, Jerry Jones has now come back and said basically that maybe he misspoke.
I think I got in trouble a little the other day when I said, we're not urgent about CD. Well, no one appreciates CD being on the field any more than I do. But let me say this. He wouldn't be taking a snap out here today if he'd been here for a while. You've got to use your head when you expose key players. That gives the other younger players a chance to do it. We know exactly what CD can do, and he worked out with Dak. And so we wouldn't have him out here. It has really not anything to do with his contract.
Yeah, I'll be honest. Listening to Jerry Jones, not only does he sound old, dude, some of the videos of him, I'm like, man, Jerry, I don't know that Jerry's ever looked his age quite like he does right now. You can hear it in his voice.
His players have done that to him.
Is that what it is? They're sending him
over
the edge.
As an Eagles fan, I'm okay.
Yeah. they're sending him over there. I mean, look, I think the playoffs alone is enough to make you kind of look that age. But, I mean, look, he's trying to backtrack, but in the end he kind of hammers home his entire point from the get-go. So I don't know what really the point of this statement was. You're like, Jerry, I think you're still saying the same thing, aren't you, buddy? You're still saying that we're not really in an urgent way to get CeeDee back.
Yeah, I don't understand why he decided that he would use that he wouldn't be playing today. and that I don't understand any of that logic of what he's trying to say. But you know what? This is a guy that thinks about things a lot in the shower, as he's told us before. So I just don't understand Jerry Jones. His thinking is off to me. Real quick, I want to mention a couple of guys that are close to home. Stetson Bennett, not a good day. 4 interceptions, but was able to – he played the entire game. He was able to pull it together at the end and hit Cartersville's own Miller Forstall for the game-winning touchdown.
Yeah, it's always fun. Miller Forstall, Cartersville legend, playing up there with Trevor Lawrence as well. And Stetson Bennett, to your point, 24-38, 224, one touchdown that won the game, but the 4 interceptions, not good look. On the other side of the field, a guy that we still don't know what he is as a quarterback, Trey Lance, 25 of 41, 188. He also led the team in rushing with 6 rushes for 44 yards. So Dallas has a few options as they start to look towards next year, maybe, but Trey Lance, I thought, kind of looked the part, man. So it was fun kind of tracking both those guys. Guys that really, really need to have good preseasons. And Stetson Bennett struggled just a little bit. I'm sure he'll get back on the horse pretty soon.
Yeah, but I'm happy to see him.
Yeah.
Like, back out there.
Yeah.
It's not how you start, it's how you finish.
I just love how bright side you are in here. Like, does anything upset you sports-wise? Like, are you just like... Because I got to be honest,
yeah,
on the other side of this break, we're going to talk about the Braves, and I'm just like, you're just going to be the glasses half full, you know what I mean, when it comes to the Braves, even though it is now August 12th, and they don't seem to be playing
September
well.
September 12th, get back to me.
Yeah, okay. All right, I love that. I love that.
You know what? Your optimism is trying to reel me back in, because I am at the point now where the 2024 edition of the Braves might have become what Desmond Ritter was me for last year, where I am on the bus way too long. And I don't get off. I rarely get off trains. I'm normally just go into the flames.
Well,
but.
Look, don't be a chicken little. You don't ever want to go that route. So, bright side, Bo will be coming up on the other side of the break. We also got a mic'd up, some craziness in Richmond, Virginia last night. Boy, things went off the rails for sure. You don't want to miss that. It's coming up on the other side. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 929.
Team every year in this time of the year, you're very excited, you're very optimistic about the season.
Now back live to Flowery Branch for Falcons training camp
with the Morning Shift.
Exclusive training camp coverage is brought to you by Miller Lite. Taste like Miller time, Atlanta.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
National pitcher, and here he is today in his fourth big league season.
Soler crushes it. Soler. Shot, homers in 3 straight games for Soler, and it's 6-2 Atlanta.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Can we just air it out right now? Air it out?
This hour brought to you by Zero Res Smart Lasting Clean. Speaking of airing things out, Zero Res always airing out those carpets. What do you got, Bo?
Well, we come in this morning, and something has gone wrong in the media break room here at Flowery Branch, where the water is no longer cold. We used to have a fridge that had smart water. It's no longer cold. The coffee machine's missing.
Everything's missing.
And Mike, coffee.
Well,
and
you know
over
what,
and over
man,
and over again.
When you show up somewhere and you expect to, number one, have a parking spot on this side of the road, and number two, have a cup of coffee when you walk in, it gets thrown off really quickly.
Well, I felt bad about the parking thing. So
did you feel bad?
No, he didn't.
I did.
No. This man's never felt bad for me in his life.
I did once.
Oh, for him. You felt bad.
Once.
I did. Yeah, yeah. I thought you meant about the situation.
I did once.
I did feel bad for you, too.
So, Mike is just complaining. And Allison,
that's me. You know
Allison
me.
Gets up and goes out of the room, and then I decide to go in there where the break room normally is. And we're looking through stuff. I don't see anything.
Foraging.
So, I peek in the door of the media room, and I look in, and I see two
Which
items.
Is where, like, Raheem does press conferences and things like that.
I see two things. I see a coffee maker sitting on top of a microwave in the media room on somebody's table, which is their desk. So I go in there and grab the coffee machine, and I tell Allison, take all these cups and these cup lids, and we've grabbed a whole pouch of
K-cups.
And now we just made Mike coffee.
Yeah,
we just made you coffee.
It smells delightful
in here
right now.
And you're welcome.
Okay. All right, so now I'm supposed to say thank you. All right, so we got to talk about the Atlanta Braves. Speaking about your welcome, they did not give us anything to be thankful for over the weekend other than a little more offense. And look, I want to start with this because we kind of asked this question about the Falcons from Friday night, right? The question was, do you feel any better about the Falcons after Friday? And that's going to be part of the wake-up call coming up here on the other side of the next break, coming up at 8 a.m. But I'll ask you the same thing about the Braves. Allison doesn't seem to feel any better or worse about the Atlanta Braves after this weekend. Bo, do you feel worse or feel any better?
Yeah, I feel worse. I'm starting to feel like...
Which is shocking to me. I thought you were going to say the bats are alive. Or
well, hell, now you can't pitch. I mean, we can't have anything around here. We can't have any... You know, this, you know what the Braves are? They're my golf game, okay? A week ago, I was hitting my irons as good as I've ever hit them. My putter was good, but I couldn't get off a tee. Played 9 holes yesterday. Driver is on fire, Mike. Now I can't hit my irons.
Yeah,
now the putter's not working.
Hitting straight,
like,
taters down the center of the fairway.
And that is literally the Braves right now. The bats start working. All of a sudden, we can't pitch. Yeah. All of a sudden, we're brutal. Max Fried's giving up 4 or 5 runs. Jimenez is getting hit. Luke Jackson over the second coming of that.
Our buddy Mark Rigby on Twitter, I think this is hilarious. He tweets at us and says, the Braves are like that scene from Friday with Smokey and Craig. He says, dang, y'all ain't never got two things that match. Kool-Aid, no sugar. Ham, no burger. That is the Atlanta Braves right now,
that's
man.
That's a great line,
it's
by
a
the
great
way.
Pull. And look, man. Brian Snicker was asked after the game, is this demoralizing?
I don't know. I hope it doesn't. You know, I don't know. I mean, you got to fight through it. I mean, it's just the hard part of this game, man. You got to turn the page, and we got to go out, and we got to come out and figure out a way to win a game tomorrow. I mean, it's no fun doing this, obviously. Yeah, I don't know.
Bo, I think it's been funny, Allison's attitude towards us talking about the Braves today, because you and I got in an argument about a month ago, and you said Braves fans were a bunch of chicken littles. And I don't remember if it was after the one run loss to the White Sox or what other demoralizing victory it was this year, but you and I kind of went back and forth, and you were like, it's not time to panic. And I was like, at what point can we panic? At what point do Braves fans go, man, this does not look good? And now I feel like we're both kind of getting that treatment from Allison this morning. She's like, let me know. Get at me in a month. Get at me September 12th. I think, I'll be honest, Allison, I think that's too late. But I think you've made me feel a little bit better about where they're at right now.
Yeah, because we've seen them, like, come in so hot that they're, like, you know, 10 games above. No one can catch them. And then they have to sit and wait to get into the playoffs. They tried doing those sim games last year. Baseball, it's all about just, like, staying in the rhythm. So, yeah, let's take that wild card and let's just run for it. Let's go.
I think you're right there. The problem is you're 3-7 in your last 10. You just lost 2 of 3 to a team that has 70-plus losses.
In Colorado.
That's fine, but you score 8 runs, you're supposed to win. That's like
in
scoring.
Colorado, it doesn't matter. You can have 16 and still lose.
I understand, but you can't keep losing these games.
I don't think you do understand.
I do.
Colorado is not a place I'm going to judge. Let's tell me about the Giants. Let's look after that. And then next week, you got the Phillies in town. Okay, that's huge.
Yeah, that is huge.
Allison, here's what I'll say. In Colorado, you can't judge, but also somehow they're 30 games under 500, the Rockies are. So at least they're getting judged by somebody.
You just can't blow a lead. You just can't blow an 8-2 lead in the bottom of the eighth inning to a team that has 70-plus losses. Well, by the way, ding. The White Sox took 2 or 3 from us as well. Not been very good at times. It's just I'm frustrated. I mean, I don't know what to say.
Speaking of frustrated, let's hit a Mic'd Up.
It's time for Mic'd Up with Mike Johnson. Brought to you by the Lexus Golden Opportunity Sales Event.
All right, so I want to make sure I do this story some justice, and I try my best. I'm a big NASCAR fan, Allison, and I try my best not to talk too much NASCAR on this show, but this one last night has to be talked about. Austin Dillon, who drives the number 3 car, the famed Dale Earnhardt black car last night. Well, he got a little Earnhardt in him last night, and I'll be honest with you. What he did is he has been very, very, very bad this year. He's like 3rd from last in terms of season-long points. He is the White Sox of NASCAR right now. He has been awful. All right, so he got an opportunity with 2 laps to go on a restart. If you win the race, here's how it works in NASCAR. If you win the race, so even if the White Sox were to win this race, they would go to the playoffs. That's how it works in NASCAR.
Yeah.
Austin Dillon, eye of the tiger last night. All right, so he's 2 laps to go. Logano takes the lead right in front of him, and he absolutely cleans Joey Logano out. And I'm talking about does not even tap the brakes.
Well,
clips the back fender of Joey Logano, sends him spinning into the wall. At that point, Denny Hamlin attempts to pass Austin Dillon in the final turn, and he wipes him out, hits him in the back left fender, and sends Denny Hamlin spinning into the wall. He was like, you know what? I'm not apologizing. I don't have anything to apologize for. I'm going to the playoffs,
yeah,
baby.
It kind of looked like you and I racing. But what the funny part was, is you know, Dillon should have won. Dillon had the race won. And then when that caution came out, he punted that 22 car.
Punted. Absolutely punted.
Yep. He took the front end of his car and matched it up with the rear end of that 22 car, because I don't like saying that guy's names. I don't like him. And, I mean, he punted him. Propelled him.
If you guys have ever gone on a vacation to Destin or one of these places with go-kart tracks, this kind of thing happens what seems like all the time. Absolutely got punted. Well, the funny part is, here's what Joey Logano had to say afterwards.
It's chicken. There's no doubt about it. He's four car lengths back. Not even close. Then he wrecks the 11 to go along with it. And then he's going to go up there and thank God and praise everything with his baby. It's a bunch of BS. It's not even freaking close. I mean, dude, I get it. Bump and run. I get it. I didn't back up the corner at all. He came in there and just drove through me. It's ridiculous that that's the way we race. Unbelievable. I get bump and runs. I do that. I would expect it. But from four car lengths back, he was never going to make the corner. And then he wrecks the other car. He wrecks the 11 to go with it. So what a piece of crap.
He's going to grab his baby and go up there and thank God.
Well, the best part was, is they asked Austin Dillon. He's a man. I can't believe this is crazy. I'm so happy for everybody that works hard. But I want to thank God. Oh, and here's my baby. And literally his baby gets handed to me because I just want to thank God. And the 22 line there, it irritated me last night because I don't think you should ever mention anyone's kid ever. That's off limits.
And then he's going to go up there and thank God and praise everything with his baby.
But this was very much like a Saturday Night Live movie.
Yeah.
I mean, Mike, you said it earlier. This was Ricky Bobby.
It was Ricky Bobby.
He's like, I ain't first or last. I'll wreck you to win a race.
Ricky Bobby and Cal Naughton.
But this is what we want from NASCAR.
It's exactly what we want. NASCAR decided to go 40 years in the past last night.
It did.
And I'm here for it.
Yeah.
The 22 can talk all the trash he wants, but he has and would have done the exact same thing in that situation. And I'll give the 11 car, who I'm not a big fan of either, but I'm starting to grow respect for him because he says, look, I don't like it, but I understand it. You've got to do what you got to do. And he knows good and well deep down inside in that small little heart that he might have, the Grinch heart that the 11 car Denny Hamlin has, he did the same thing.
Yeah. All right, well, we got to get a wake-up call on the other side, 404-726-0929. You can hit us up at 929 Morning Shift on the X if you want to get your thoughts. Do you feel any better or worse after Friday night's preseason game? And what is the one word you would use to describe the Atlanta Braves right now? We'll be back in just a minute. Sports Radio 929 The Game.